All right. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new season, season 3, episode 1 of Mic'd Up, which is a transition from Michael and I challenged ourselves, can we do an episode every Thursday for an entire year? And that took up 2 seasons with more talk. We did it every time we do it in front of a live audience because our goal is to eventually make it like radio where people can not just comment, but they could come up and ask guest questions because we have some of the best guests you could have in mortgage and when we try or even real estate eventually and we try to get raw with it. But right now it is 2 p.m. on the East Coast.
And we are at 11 a.m. out on the West Coast in sunny San Diego.
This one's going to serve 2 purposes. One is we can obviously attack it from a mortgage perspective, Michael, but I do have to get one thing out of the way. We are going to sprinkle some entrepreneurial spirit and journey in here in a different way than most mortgage podcasts. This won't be the dynamic story of a branch growing up to become a top IMB in the entrepreneurial way of learning. This is more the world that I transitioned from being a loan officer, and I went out and introduced the mobile app to the mortgage industry. Whether I started it, put shovel in the dirt first, probably not. Rocket got that one. But we got it out to market, or we helped lenders get a mobile app. And I know how hard it is, and I know if you don't push it in the mortgage industry, it maybe would never have happened, like looking back on it now. And now we get to hear on the other side of the door, other side of the window. And I don't know how much you know about this, Michael, but you'll know by the end of it. But Eric and Brad did just that in real estate and before mortgage, because that typically, that's probably what happens. Things start a little bit earlier in mortgage than, real estate tech than mortgage. But Brad and Eric, if you guys want to, and my brother and I did it together. We got to spend time together. I got to talk to Brad about that and just, you can't take those years away, failure or not. And I think first, why don't you both introduce yourselves to our audience here live, as well as if you're listening on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, we appreciate you listening. You're going to really enjoy this hour here.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. And Michael, Brad Blumberg, I'm the founder of Astor Key.
And I'm Eric Blumberg. I'm the younger brother, better looking founder of Astor Key.
When you went into the real estate market, and you're doing the same in mortgage, so how does the dynamic work between you as far as finding out if there is a pain that you have that you can solve before Eric starts working on it? Or there are a lot of people that do it the other way. They start working on it, then they go and try and find a pain.
Well, that's harder the second way. So I think it's always, and I think most entrepreneurs are like this. You see a problem, something in an industry you know something about, maybe you come from that industry and have some background, and you try to fix it, or you try to do something that can't be done. And that's what we did in real estate. So our mom was a real estate broker. So we had grown up watching her run a real estate office, and she was one of those top brokers that, you know, owned her town, sold every house 3 times, knew, you know, more than the MLS. You could just drive through town saying, that house is this, I sold it for this, it's owned by this. So she was one of those top brokers. And so we knew a lot about that. And Eric and I, our dad was an architect, so he was in a related field. And Eric and I both went in similar fields coming out of school. Eric was as an architect, not a software architect, but did buildings. And I was doing development. So naturally, when we started getting into tech, and it was like the height of the internet. It was, you know, we were teens and in our 20s at the birth of the internet. So we're talking like 1999. And so what I wanted to be able to do as a developer, I wanted to be able to move around the world, use this new thing, these new phones that were coming out, hit a button and get information about everything around me. Because what, as a developer, what I was doing, like everybody else, you'd have to go to the courthouse. Who owns this farm? You'd have to track it down. There was no easy way to do that. So with the internet, you could connect a database and now phones that were getting GPS in it. And we kind of were the first to put that together. So when the chips were going in the cell phones, Qualcomm and these big chip companies would use our beta, who called it Smarter Agent, to go pitch Verizon and say, hey, if you put our chips and GPS in your phones, you'll be able to do things like driving directions, real estate search. And that's how it kind of started. That sound about right, Eric?
Yeah. And what was interesting is we were the only app even then that used dynamic maps going to the phone, streaming data and location. You know, so all they really had was driving directions. So we showed, hey, how do you secure information coming down for a real estate search? How do you stream all this data to these phones that don't have a lot of storage? And, you know, and dynamic maps. So all this came together, you know, it was early. But even with Neiman Architecture, just like Brad said, I focused on 3D animation and design. So I was building city blocks, and trying to get the information on the blocks and everything else was impossible.
So when Eric says it was early, I think us and our initial investors would say it was way too early. It was like almost saying, oh yeah, we're going to put a hotel on the moon and you start working on it today. And, you know, it's really 20 years away before it, you know, becomes even a possibility to do it. So I think, you know, it was early. And with this new company that we're here to talk about, we're hoping we're not that early.
Context, when you say early, what year was that approximately?
We started, it wasn't the company, but we started doing things with mobile location-based services, I think in the early 2000s. It was pre-iPhone. So it didn't take off until the iPhone, right? Because then people kind of said, oh, apps. So we were just, the company that became Smarter Agent, that iteration of it, that was, I think we raised like $20 million in 2008. And that was right at the iPhone. But we had been pitching this to the big real estate franchisers like Century 21, Berkshire Hathaway. We were pitching, it was just a little pre-iPhone, and we were getting them, you know, Michael, I guess, did this in mortgage. We were getting them to buy into something that they hadn't really seen yet. Like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, everybody can take their iPhone and go around and it has GPS in it. We were like, this is coming. You need to be ready. Let us get you ready to do this. So it was early, early.
And just to put it into context, most people don't even know what this is, but Palm 7 was the first mobile device that had an antenna with a GPS clip on the back. That was our first prototype, proving we could download dynamic maps and show real estate for sale and sold on a device. You know, then it was the razors and all the other stuff. You know, and as Brad said, it really took off for us with iPhone and smartphones when the carriers couldn't block what you wanted to do anymore.
So that's the big moment. And I'm very immersed in the mortgage space from a selling to enterprises. I can't really pick out too many experiences where people have told me, like what you guys just described and what I went through in 2013, where I had go to meetings and selling an idea. Like, that doesn't happen very often, where you don't have to go through the demo and you have to prove it to them. And it sounds like you guys had it there. And you were even, if I remember correctly, the App Store for Apple came out in 2011 and the iPhone came out in 2007. So in that in-between time, was there still ways to get apps like yours on the phone? It just wasn't as commercialized like Angry Birds, or are my dates off, or am I thinking of it too much app-like and you're more like a utility already on the phone? To
the Razr flip phone and all those generations, they all had apps on it. No one really used them. We had apps across all, you know, we were the first location-based app across every major carrier. Because at the time, you know, you had a navigation app and it was proprietary to that carrier. They didn't share. But because of our reach, they all let us in. But no one used them. So the problem was, it was hard to get in. It was a huge barrier to entry that we went through. And no one used it until you had real app stores and you had things that people saw and it was easy to see. It was so hard to find the app and download it. That was really the issue until Apple changed everything.
I want to make one quick comment, and then I'm going to pass it over to my great co-host, because you guys are a client of Adopt the Brand. I've been making introductions. That's what a client means. So I just really passionately believe in the app and what you're doing. So I'll let Mike sort of ask as a loan, like from a loan officer's hat and maybe secondary hat, what he thinks of it. But what I want to point out here is 12 minutes in, the type of person that's still listening to this, that finds passion in tech, that understands anything that we said, whether it was mobile or tracking or the word GP, what an acronym GPS stands for. When I go out and I make the introduction, I'm not overselling Asterkey. All I am saying is what stood out to me, the reason I reached out to you is I just think your app is absolutely beautiful, elegant, delightful, and easy to use, and therefore will win and should win. But once I got to know you, my co-host always says the riches are in the niches. And I think the type of people that are listening to this, and there's a big, big group of them out there, or as you said, into Bitcoin, and not because they're going to buy the house with Bitcoin, but they fundamentally believe in your mindset. Us as an industry needs to get better at riches in the niches. And I think people are underestimating just having the ability to advertise what you do as what they do will produce more than enough to ROI. And our industry needs to get back to the basics. What vendors are ROIing before we start going back to the moon again? And I think yours will ROI, whether it's from the leads that you're able to go in that we're talking about could get you an extra three deals a month, or just the ripple effect of the PR that you guys are leaning into actually caring about the consumer and their data and their identity. So with that said, thank you for those that stuck around and listened. I think you're really going to enjoy how to make some extra money and some extra business here. Mike, I'll let you do a little bit of deep dive and detective work and help the average loan officer figure out what is Asterkey and how they can make money with it.
Well, let's start with a master of the obvious question first. Is that so? How does the originator benefit from using Asterkey at the moment? I mean, I can see how it's going to be helping the consumer. And so, how does, as far as you know, we talk about, you know, there's been data breaches, and you know, and you were talking about earlier how you were working with Qualcomm or getting Qualcomm with Verizon to work with various sorts of ways of collecting data and information. So and that's great for the consumer, but how does the originator or the ground floor on Main Street use Asterkey, the product with Asterkey, so that they can produce a better experience for the buyer or the homeowner?
Right. So we're creating an entirely new channel for consumers to enter the loan process. So we call it Start Your Loan Anonymously. And the way to think about it is, if you go to Amazon's or any retailer site now, there's a new channel there. It's been there for a couple of years called Buy Now, Pay Later. Right? It's just, you don't go through the normal channel like, hey, I want to do it this way. I want to make payments. That channel is becoming 20, 30% of retail. It's so big, you can't even believe it. So we think that when you go to a lender's website or the lender, you're kind of early. You're not just coming in from a realtor. You got to close in 90 days, but you're starting your journey. Maybe you haven't talked to a lender yet. Maybe you have, but every application now in the mortgage industry, it looks exactly the same to me. I don't care what company it is. What's your name? What's your social? Step two, what are you looking for? Step three, tell me how much, you know, money you have, your income, your credit score. So it's asking for a ton of information right off the bat. We want to see on those pages or on the big drop-off pages. Now, I usually drop off, you know, page three. It's just like, this is like, it's too much. So we want to see an alternate channel that says start your loan anonymously. So we believe that 20, 30%, just like buy now, pay later, will take this alternate channel where they can get lender ready, right? Assets, debts, income, documents on their own, nobody prying, and all the data security, which you really didn't talk about, but it all comes from, we want to protect this data. We started Asterkey, just like I wanted to go with Smarter Agent and just be able to be on a farm field and be, who owns it? You know, is it for sale? I wanted Asterkey for you to have all your information. You get it ready on your own. And then when you're ready, you can go anonymously and talk to an agent, like through the app. You can two-way anonymous. And when you're ready, you can go in into the process. You can permission your data to that lender. So originators or companies can come in. You can be in this Ask Your Key app that sits in the store, and consumers can pick you one-to-one to start your loan anonymously. Or as I said the other way, the loan officer or the company can put it into their normal flow and can generate their own leads. They can give their app out to realtors or consumer, so you can come in, and then it's one to one with the lender, if that makes
sense. So I'm going to be asking you from the point of view from the originator who has to talk to his branch manager, who the branch manager may have to talk to a divisional or an owner. Is that okay?
Sure.
To start the conversation, the first thing I'm concerned about is, number one, you hold the information or the data for the prospect. And my fear is that, number one, do you hold the consumer credit data and the financial data? And how much is that going to cost? And does the consumer have, and if the consumer can do this, I mean, one of the main concerns that that's been brought up recently is the cost of credit reports. And so, you know, again, from the originator standpoint, how much is this costing me? Is it, and is the data being protected or is it being sold? And even if I have exclusivity, you still have collected data. Actually, I'm not sure.
So let me help. So many layers of the onion there.
Yes.
So, okay. First of all, we have a bunch of patents in the way that we handle security and data, because the number one thing we do is we empower the consumer to compile their data. Ask Your Key, our servers, we don't hold anything. You could come hack into Ask Your Key. Guess what? There's nothing there except a phone number, which we use to verify it's your phone. But everything, our magic, is that the consumer is creating their profile on their phone, not in some Ask Your Key server or some big server. So we're letting you, Michael, control, have everything, get you lender ready, so you can give it to a lender when you want to. So that's kind of step one.
Which is also one of the big security differences. It's a very small footprint. You know, when the lenders collect it and they have hundreds of thousands or millions of personal PII, personal information and financial information on a server, that's a honeypot that someone wants to get in. If it's on your phone, more secure based on what we do, you know, you have to get into someone's phone, do all this stuff, which is very, very hard with everything we're doing and with it as well. But is the juice worth the squeeze when it's one person's information? Maybe if it's Elon Musk or someone, but for most people, it's so much effort to get one person's data off that phone. That's one of the added layers of security.
So it's like, if I had something in my front yard and I brought it into the store, I'm actually keeping it in my own front yard. Like the store doesn't have possession of it. That's interesting. I didn't realize that you could keep your own personal data on your phone without sharing it, especially on an app. You know, when they ask the question, do you want to share your data with the sources? So to keep it, that's actually pretty powerful.
Yeah. So if you look at your data policy, you look at any of these companies and you look at their data policies, everyone says we share with third parties that we work with. Every single one. Ours doesn't. You know, so with us, you know, how did we come up with this? You know, Brad was frustrated with it. You know, we have some loans and I have to give my taxes. I email it to an obscure server. They say, oh, I went to Canada, they lost it. I have to do it again. You know, or our personal financial statement, they lose them. So now we're saying, hey, put it all on the phone, make it secure. You control it and you control how it goes out. And there's no advertising. You know, when I was trying to refinance, you know, to get this 2.5% rate, I went to three different sites and we were starting this, and every site, it's secure. Give me your taxes, give everything. Well, it's a year and a half later, I'm still getting advertising from it because of that checkbox. For 90 days, they can advertise your partners. Well, it's not just 90 days. You know, that data goes in to an LOS and it goes to seven other companies to review it. and everyone's selling your data. It's like hack me.
So we do a lot of magic too. So a lot of what we do to make this is the most secure finance app ever invented. I mean, there's nothing as secure as the way we do it on your phone. And let me tell you some of the things that we do. So you can create a financial statement and you can verify the data, some of the data, and you can self-verify it because we wanted you to be able to do a real financial statement and maybe verifying your boat value. That's hard to get. So you'd have to say my boat's worth $50,000. But when we take the data, let's say you're verifying your assets, your bank accounts, we connect you to like Plaid. So when we bring the data down from a verified source, whether it's Plaid, Truve, Argyle for income, we strip out on the way down your personal information, your name, your social, your email, whatever's in there, from your financial data. And we store it separately on your phone. So one of the things, another layer is we don't put it back together till it's needed somewhere else. So you're storing this on your phone encrypted in two separate spots. So the consumer is. So we're making it magic on your phone. And, you know, when you raised a bunch of points, I'm a believer that, you know, like a startup, this is a 10-year journey. So you can't do everything at once, right? We're focusing on the application first. Our next step is we're integrating with LOSs. We're a partner of ICE. So when we complete that process, you'll be able, lenders that are on ICE, 40% of all mortgages, will be able to drop the data from your phone into ICE. Some of it anonymized, we can use an ID instead of a name. So we're working through the entire process. We're working through to investors over time, Fannie Freddie, servicers. When you think about what Astor Key's doing, it's all about the data. We learned that from our first business. We talked for 8 minutes about we were the first mobile app. But you know why we were acquired? Because we handled 700 MLSs, all the data, all these gigantic franchisers and brokerages, we were running the MLS data for them. And they could put it in their phone, on the web, in their analytics. So this is about cleaning up the screwed up data process, the very fragmented data process in the mortgage industry. And once you clean up and secure the data, you can have a lot of innovation that we're not even thinking about, you know, that we haven't thought about. So what we're trying to do is decentralize the data to the person's phone. It sets up all these big lenders for what's coming next, Web3, Web5, whatever's next. But we're starting to decentralize it now and clean up the data. And once you clean up the data, that's a little bit of magic. So that's that. There's a couple things going on here.
I think it's very parallel to what I've seen in e-notes and e-closing, but with a caveat here. Meaning it was sold in the early on stage, not even close to what it is today, right? You just had to believe that it was going to be a better experience to be able to not sign 118 pages. All the investors haven't. Even now, there are investors, I believe like AmeriHome, and I shouldn't misquote, but and others that don't actually take the full e-note yet. But they will. We saw it with Account Check and Form Free. They will. In the meantime, companies are still signing up because they do or they hear that that's a better customer experience and that will get you business. The caveat of where I see Astor Key bringing you business. So we'll ask Brad and Eric, how can it bring you business? But here's where I've seen it now talking. Step one is Brad's a master in PR, but I believe your first step is PR around your commitment to this. And that could be not, you don't need to be in the USA Today, do it locally, get yourself in a local article. I'm kind of taking a couple of your ideas here, Brent, but get yourself in a local article, get yourself known with this, right? Maybe on a local show. This is something the media will get around. Step two is anytime you have fallout or anytime you have pre-approvals that are aging, anytime you have opportunity lost because you already took the app, you already did the hard work, or you got the relationship, they just don't want to move forward, you send them the article and say, look, why don't you at least prepare? Or why don't you get your data here and we'll protect it when you're ready? And then step three or the final step is The app is so elegant looking, and I've been immersed in apps forever, and I think a lot of the industry and the mortgage side has run out of steam on apps. When you look at how clean this is and you send it, this is the representation of what you want. So now they feel you are one of these large companies like Rocket, and you can be a small branch that does a lot of business. You can show that you believe in protecting their account. You can relate to them because you just lost it. They abandoned it because they didn't want to give you something. It's a way to capture. I think I always look at it as we've been through such a hard time. Everybody needs a huge rainstorm. And are you going to go out with a thimble or are you going to go out with a bucket and start catching the rain when it comes? And this is another way to have a bucket and not a thimble. So anybody that you don't have time when those rates drop, get them the Aster key, get them the article. That's how I think you could make an extra 2 to 3 deals a month if you mix in the fact of finding out where, like go on Eventbrite and find out where these Bitcoin, where these really smart computer science degrees, people that actually know what happens with bad data. And look, you got to get outside the box. You got to get some market share now. These ideas, you're not busy enough where you can't go out here. And then when you get those extra deals or you own that market, I think it'll be significant in the upswing. So that's how I would do it as a listener out there. Brad, Eric, or Mike, how would you guys use this to get some business?
Do you have affiliations that, I mean, outside of the general internet space of things, Google or however people might look, I mean, is there affiliations with Zillow, Redfin, or other sites that will, or even Realtor.com, other sites that will capture buyer information so that an originator can has a desire to use Aster as a lead generation platform for themselves?
So we haven't done any partnerships with companies like that or other financial apps, or we could be the
more. That's actually partially good news.
Yeah. We could be the mortgage engine for stuff that they're trying to do, and they could put their data or customers, same thing, in anonymous process, get a mortgage. So we'll start doing that. We're now at the, you know, we're at the, this is from Eric, you know, walk, run, or what is it, Eric? Crawl, walk, run. Yeah. So we're at the crawl stage. We're putting it together. So most of our, besides the tech, like we spend a decent amount of money and it's, you know, it's 95% tech building this app. Because if you think about it, it's kind of hard tech. Like we're not using servers. Whenever we want to do something fast, you know, it's like, okay, you know, our tech team will tell me, okay, Brad, we're not using any servers. It's not that easy. So, you know, we're trying to get data. But so what we're working on now is building out a national network of top innovative lenders. So you guys are Michael's helping us with that. And we're really just doing one-on-ones to get lenders in, make sure we're covered in Florida, Texas, Arkansas, wherever we are. And that's going great. So we're putting this lender network. And to Michael's point, in our beta, which will come out this summer, where you'll be able to apply. So you can download Aster Key now. So we have about 10,000 beta users that have downloaded Aster Key solely to do a secure financial statement or to generate their own proof of funds letter if they want to get into property, because we have asset verification, obviously. So there's some things, but they're not coming to apply for a mortgage yet. They're coming. We say you can get lender ready, but we haven't attached the whole flywheel of, you know, you want to look in New Jersey. Here's a lender or two that can start your loan anonymously for you that you can communicate with. So that launch will happen. And to Michael's point, those lenders, you're absolutely right. If you're sitting in Austin, Texas, and you're our launch partner, the Austin Statesman, the TV channel, you're the lender that can talk about, you can start your loan anonymously with me. I can answer questions anonymously. We can look at your financials anonymously. I can get you started. So that's going to have as big as bang as, hey, you can be the first one to have mobile in your market. And as Michael knows, that put us on the Today Show. Like we were everywhere because this is new tech. So we're working with new tech, a new channel for lenders, and you know, hopefully it works pretty good. I think we're not having a lot of resistance at the moment.
I was going to say, and if you're
not a Mavericks fan and not in Austin, and you're up in Boston with the world champion Boston Celtics, I got Celtics, then you can have that area of Boston and that tech-savvy crowd there in Cambridge. And so that's what Brad's doing. He's trying to allow, this is the proper way you launch. The old Mike would have taken notes on this, but I'm just, they're so calculated. The crawl, walk, run approach is great. And I think if your zip code's not taken, the barrier to entry here is so great if you're willing to embrace that the riches are in the niches. I don't think you guys aren't looking for people just to get an area code to keep somebody else out, right? Because that can happen in this industry.
No, no. So there's two ways. So a really powerful way, and we learned this from real estate, we want the, whether it's the LO, as Michael said, or the firm, we give them tools to promote this and get this out there in their normal flow. So the one thing we're not, if you talk to a lot of Web3 or companies that are trying to do things, you know, far out there with decentralization, they're always trying to blow everything up. Like, you know, this is going to be the new way and everybody else is a dinosaur. We've kind of looked at it like, okay, we can work within the flow of the mortgage industry and we're just going to bring the winners along this new flow of data and security and data privacy. And we always say, there's a pretty big company that markets the same way, and it's called Apple. So when you use Apple, when Apple came out with AI, half their launch was about, hey, this is the privacy and secure AI. This is not the Wild West where, you know, it's there's all these harmful things. We're going to try to make this a consumer product AI. And that's what I see missing in lending. Like, to me, pretty much every lender looks the same. I mean, Rocket has a brand when they were doing heavy marketing, but you know, every lender relies on, it's very local, you know, making relationships in their community. It's not like a consumer brand like an Apple, which is touting tech, but fun tech. We protect you. We protect your privacy tech. So I'd like to see lenders start going out, trying to be the safest lender in the country, the safest lender in the market. Like and not just say it, like you can call yourself, you know, safe bank and trust, but doesn't mean you're doing anything for safety. But I'd like to see really lenders get behind really protecting consumer data and really thinking about it. Because if you go to any of these conferences now, and Eric's been on a couple panels for cybersecurity, I mean, everybody's been hacked. There's no way to keep them out of your systems. So if you want to, they're going to get in, right? Everybody's been hacked in the mortgage industry, almost everyone, all the big guys. That's because you can't keep them out. There's too many holes. But Eric's invented some ways, if you look at some of his videos, that protects it when they're in. Like, Eric's encrypting every field. He's not encrypting the database like everybody does. Every field in AstroTech.
But like when Facebook got hacked years ago, you know, they got into the database and they had everything because all the fields weren't encrypted. We're encrypting all the fields. So on your phone, there's multiple databases. And if you get into a database, which you got to get through 250, all this other stuff, but all the fields are encrypted and all the fields are encrypted with different keys. So you may get one field, but, and it's all about slowing that down so we can identify when someone's into something and we can get them out because, you know, you're always going to get in. And then the industry is running on these rusted rails and a lot of them are public. Gorillas are huge. Are they really going to invest in thinking, how do I protect first when their bottom line and their profit per share goes down? No. So they buy insurance and they put these, I say, force fields, or, you know, they it's like a flu shot. So you get a flu shot every year. If you get it, it's for the most popular strain, right? But you can still get the flu. So they're putting, you know, it's like they're giving their infrastructure a flu shot, but someone's still going to get in.
So if I'm an originator, am I purchasing a better way to produce 1003s to upload into my loan origination system? Am I purchasing a lead generation system or a different way to communicate with my CRM, customer retention management system? I mean, what am I purchasing as an originator? So that, it could be a combination of the three, too, as well. But what am I purchasing so that I know how to generate more business or increase the flexibility and streamlined way of collecting data for my business.
Right. So an originator, you're not thinking about the tech, right? I want tech just to work. I'm not thinking about much of that at all. I mean, if you're the CIO of a company, yes, you're thinking about it. But so what we're selling are consumers, different niches of consumers that this is really, really important to, you know, protecting their data, empowerment. So we say there are almost 100 million people that manage their own money on Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard. They're empowered. They don't need a stockbroker, almost like they don't need a mortgage broker. If they could do it themselves, they would do it themselves. So, because they like managing their money. They want the tools to be able to manage, you know, their assets and their money. Those type of people are people that are going to use AsterKey. They're going to be, hey, does this bank have, you know, Intel Inside, AsterKey? Are they using it? So they're going to be attracted, and they'll find it through AsterKey or their lender, that they can start doing some of this stuff and be more empowered in the process. So I think what you're getting people like software, you're getting people that have already been hacked and are looking for better solutions. You're getting the ability to reach an audience that you haven't thought of. You've thought of first-time homebuyers. You've thought of credit challenge, baby boomers. You haven't thought that within those gigantic swaths, there are people that want to manage their data, manage their money, don't want to get hacked, want to be more secure, love blockchain, like new tech, wait in line at Apple stores. Like, that's what you're going to try to attract, or that when they see that they can start their loan anonymously from your site or your marketing, that's what you're getting. The tech, yeah. If you ask me where we're going to be in 5 years, 10 years, we've changed how the data is going to flow through lending. We're going to work through every piece of it. So, you know, so you'll be able to do an ICE mortgage. If you're one of those lenders, you'll be able to keep the person anonymously longer. When it goes, maybe Fannie and Freddie will let you do an anonymous pre-qual or anonymous pre-approval. A lot of the data is the same. If you're using, if Argyle or Truve or Approved for Income in Fannie Mae, if it's been verified at AsterKey, it should be able to go all the way through. And so I think the magic is in the tech, but it's kind of, I think we're one of the few companies that are trying to marry the CMO with the CIO and kind of use that to get customers.
Is the consumer ultimately Ubering or DoorDashing their own information to a lender then?
Never thought of it like that, but it's, you know, it's a similar model. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting in that is that it's a more qualified lead. So, you know, they're verifying with Plaid two income sources. I mean, two asset sources. They're doing full identity verification. Their identity verification information is cross-checked against their Plaid address and the name, so it matches. So they're going through hoops before they can send this down to the lender. So the lender receives this information. So they know this person has, it's not just they clicked on a thing online. They've actually started doing all this information.
So what Eric's saying, we won't pass a lead. There's a minimum amount of information you have to, when you apply for a loan, you just can't fill out from AsterKey, joeblow@gmail.com, right? We're verifying this is you. You know, you either got to show ID or you've used, two-thirds of Americans use Plaid products, Venmo. So if you've been in the system and already showed your ID, you don't do it again. But we know that it's you. It's Michael. Then we're saying, hey, verify two accounts. We're not a lender, so we're not saying we care if it has $50 or $1 million. We're just saying we want to know that you're real and have some, you know, some financial something. So we're making you do a couple things before we pass it to the lender.
Is the consumer putting in their social security number or birth date?
No.
So it doesn't even become a HMDA violation or Home Mortgage Disclosure Act violation because they're not, so they don't have to worry about some kind of disclosure going out there.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Like, we do that, yeah. Once it goes in LOS, like, I know from ICE, you can do send certain things. But, yeah, no, it's anonymous. We don't even know who it is. Like, It's totally, it's up to the consumer to send their personal data to the lender when they want to.
Now that we graduated pushing AsterKey, and the reason people should be signing up, and we'll put some details in the notes on how you can get involved or how you can claim your zip code, and you have to show you really mean it or want it. I have some, just get a little bit higher level, I guess, rather than granular. Because to me, it's pretty obvious. I don't see why. I'll give you actually one more push here at the end, and then I got my question. I was speaking with a CMO of a rapidly growing company, up to 280 loan officers. I'll say his name. I actually, at the end of the call, he's going to, after this call, I'll set up the meeting because that's what I do, but Raddy wants to hear about it. But he started off with this SaaS model, which we've come from that space. You know, we know that that works really well in selling, and nobody in mortgage does the SaaS model with sale people. That there's people that call this CS, you know, customer experience, customer success people, and it's a methodology to that's worked unbelievable. Yet no one in mortgage has really done it. It's kind of the saying. People that got us here aren't going to be the people that got us out, especially the loan officers that went through COVID. Like myself, we became attached to LinkedIn, social media, email anyway, not to get on the phone. And now, because of the abundancy too. And what he found was that it worked really well, where you really have a call person, a person that handles the account, like a sales engineer, right? And then you actually just empower your loan officer to go out and just originate and do origination activities. But the cyclical part of it, the environment now, it's such a high and a low that they found a lot of people burn out. So the metrics work, but the actual loan officer gets a high for 12 months. And even though they're making money in this market, they're not making enough. They're not seeing the market share picture and they burn out. And what they're finding is, because they're rebuilding their CRM, what really works, by the way, this is going to be a pitch for you guys here. What they found really, but I just found this eye-opening. So what they found works the best, and this is what they're building their CRM for. And I don't want to give away too much of their plan, but they found that loan officers that are super successful are in a niche. They become very knowledgeable about it to the point where they end up almost in this click type environment where they become comfortable and that's all they do. And so VA, for example, they become really good at VA. And then guess what ends up happening? They go to the VA charity events. They end up down at somebody's birthday at the VFW. Then they get invited to the other VFW in the other town. And then they play softball on that person's team. And they create a community that's big enough that they become one of the top producers in the company. And this could be in the people that work with doctors or, and there's no rhyme or reason how they find it. They kind of just osmosis into something that works. They stick with it. I think, and I've always been a visionary of this, and many of the things I bring to the market end up being right. Like the mobile app. Just because the competitor sold for $1 billion and everybody's on it doesn't mean fundamentally it's about that co-brand. I can't see how this isn't right. And it's so obvious to me. This is just mic'd up show giving loan officers free ability to not have to guess what you're good at. And you can actually just take this niche and plant it, water it, grow it. The grass is not greener on the other side. Just water your own grass. It's very rare you get a gift. It's almost like coming up with an invention. I always wanted to come up with an invention. And so I think of one in the shower, like, what can I be rich on? It's so hard to actually come up with it. And then the app was kind of an accident. If you ever heard my background story, it never like wasn't what I intended. Kind of like it's so hard to find the niche. I'm sure that VA person, outside of being a veteran though, but like there's other veterans that are loan officers. They just had a couple deals go right and ended up in that community. It's hard to force yourself or find one. It's very rare something comes on your plate. And to me, I haven't seen an AsterKey type branding opportunity in 5 years. So, and I'm just making up a number. I can't actually name the last one. I'll have to think of it. So I hope our listeners can take away, if you don't want to do it, you should find the loan officer you want to mentor and work with them with AsterKey and help them be successful in this market of people that 100 million people that trade themselves are probably willing. And my second part was high level, what I wanted to talk about. I thought your Uber point, Mike, in the 5 minutes I've had a chance to think about it, it couldn't be more spot on, because here's the analogy too. And I don't mean to hog the mic here, but it is our show, right? So you can have a great relationship. Like, I know the owner of Vesuvius, super nice to me. I give him extra business because he'll throw me a meatball or a slice, just ask me how my day is. You know, he doesn't even throw me much free stuff, but he asks me how I'm doing, you know, how's things going. But I've actually become comfortable enough with Toast, which they use for delivery, to order my pizza through Toast, which would be like through AsterKey. So I'm not getting rid of him, his customer service, the loan officer, still who I want to work with, except it's easier than calling that place and dealing with whether they're in a good mood or a bad mood, or it's kind of easier for me now to just go through Toast. So Toast is the delivery of me letting them know I want a pizza. Just like I thought your analogy is great, Mike. It's letting the lender know that you want to apply without giving all your information. I can now see it. I think there's going to be a lot of people going through AsterKey, but still using you as a loan officer. So you might as well, in the early stages, get some extra 3 deals a month out of it.
Can I ask a tough question here? Is that okay? Who are you making upset in the mobile app industry to say, oh my gosh, I can't believe these guys are doing this? Kind of like how Uber made taxi drivers upset. Who are you making upset in the mobile app industry today in mortgage it's no longer a comparison on why someone should be able to use AsterKey. It's, hey, you know what? This is what we've disrupted, and this is who we disrupted, and they're great, but this is what we're doing differently so the consumer has a better experience.
You know, I don't think we've gone out and done enough. We just started talking about it, so I haven't seen who is going to try to crush us yet. I don't know who that is. So if we figure that out, that'll be good. I do know that we're pushing on the data. So I do know that we will, when we get to that point, we will try to push Fannie and Freddie to, because from what we see, a lot of the data rules and how you have to assemble data, do try reports, buy reports, or how you have to assemble it, you know, it's by the investors, and if Fannie and Freddie and the GSEs are doing 40-50% of the securitization, they're saying we need the data in this format. And I understand why they do that. So we will push a little harder on some of the innovation that needs to happen to make the data flow better all the way through. So, you know, maybe people don't like to be pushed as hard and you know, want to go at the pace they want to go. And, you know, obviously a little fintech wants to move faster than, you know, somebody bigger and established, as Eric said, wants to. So, you know, there might be some pushback there. You know, we tend, CMOs are better than CIOs. You know, if we're going to a bigger company, the CIO is, if I talk to a CEO and he says, oh, talk to my CIO or tech guy, I know that's not going anywhere, because that guy's overworked, has too much stuff going on. He doesn't want any new tech he has to deal with. So I think it's just internally for the industry. And like, Eric's a CTO, but if you're a startup, Eric's your best friend. He loves hearing your idea, right? There's certain CIOs that are like that, and there's some that are just been doing it for 30 years and they don't want to change. So I think it's going to be more internal than external, because we kind of invented the space. So it's our white space to do what we want with. But I think it's just a normal, you know, change is hard. Who's going to change? I'm like, that's what Michael was saying. You know, some people don't want to change. I think it's going to be more of that.
I love it, because it seems to me like I said, the consumer, they're their own DoorDash driver, their own Uber driver. But the difference is, for originators that are out there, is that they may own the data, which they get to Uber or DoorDash to get that out to the originator, but the originator owns the car. And I think that that's the difference, and that is that if you look at it from originally, going, well, why do I want to do this? Well, yeah, but you have the access, now you have the potential accessibility to the client in a more secure environment to go and collect it where the consumer is going to not only know it and feel it, and also the originator has the opportunity to bring this out there to the field with their realtor partners or collaborative partners, whether it's another referral source. It doesn't have to be a realtor, but there are many, many facilities out there where people can put in their personal information in order to feel better about having security out there. And this is the way for the originator now to have a better way to have some control over this information in a secure manner. And I think that's the key, that if the originator knows it and the consumer knows it, there's two layers of security and confidence that is layered here that the GSEs don't necessarily get just yet, nor does, and I want to tread lightly here, nor does ICE necessarily get it at the same time because of this level of security. And I think that when you get there, and it's more commonly known because you're still in this beta phase of 10,000 users, this is where you're really the pan to the gold rush here.
And that's I'm going to make a prediction and answer your question, what I think, Michael. But while I do, Eric, in the comment section on here, Boris had a comment that's very technical. He's a big fan of the show. Maybe you can comment on it. He's always talking in a way I can't even try and repeat the question for you, but it's up there in comments if you have access, and hopefully you do. If not, we can read it. Here's my prediction for you, just so I'm on camera. I predict all goes well. ICE purchases Aster Key because I think the biggest threat is MERS and Figure. Just to add another liquidation round, Mike Cargi said again, another step in the direction of having an alternative to MERS, which is technically a monopoly and a big delivery mechanism by ICE to get to their end game, which is to have their own exchange. And Figure is run on the blockchain, right? Where you would be able to, I don't want to get too technical because I'm over my own head, but that is a threat to MERS. And this seems like a great on-ramp to know the identification, but then put it up into a ledger where you don't necessarily know it. And if the only way to stop that train is to make sure you take it out before Figure, you know, has a real legitimate shot at MERS. Because as we know, MERS controls everything right now as far as delivery. So I just wanted to be on video predicting that for years from now.
Unless Accenture comes in and wants to get in too.
We'll have to do that next show. You'll have to tell me how they're involved. I'll admit when I don't know. Eric, did you have a chance to read Boris's comments about algorithms?
Yeah, so he's saying there's algorithms to deflect any intrusion and vulnerabilities, and penetration tests can be used to practically detect holes. So yeah, absolutely. All that's there and all that should be used. But in the end, the hackers get smarter. They will get in. You know, to me, it's table stakes. Everything Boris is saying, you have to do these things, but you can't assume they're not going to get in and not change how you're storing and securing the data when it's in. That's the point. It's like in Star Trek, you know, I have my modulating force field. It's 100%. It's 50%. It's 20%. Put life support to the, you know, someone always gets in, right? And what we're saying is it's not table stakes. It's overkill. And there's no such thing as overkill. So now thinking about how you protect that data in your system, as well as for us, we're only one, right? We're saying it's on the phone, one user. In our servers, we have nothing. And even what's there is encrypted. So our database is encrypted, and that phone number that, you know, you give out, that's encrypted as well, right? So it's changing the thought process is what we're saying.
Did you like that one, Boris? I think the table stakes is right on. I mean, that's table stakes. This is a step above, and those that embrace it branding wise will win. Mike, any more questions or any, do you guys want to send out any message here as we come up here, the final 3 minutes? I loved this show. I'm talked out on this show otherwise I'd go, make it go for another 45 minutes the way I keep going. So any messages you guys want to relay to the audience or anything you want to capture here at the end of the show, or how they can find you outside of the comments, any way that, or a reason they should reach out before even putting their phone down right now if they're listening on the podcast?
Yeah, I'm easy to find on LinkedIn, or brad@asterkey.com. So, but no, we're loving talking to the lenders that we're talking to. I mean, this is a similar process to when we talk to the CEO of Keller or Berkshire or their innovation people or their CMOs. I mean, this is fun stuff in the beginning where we're introducing something and we're getting feedback. I mean, look, you know, this most of the next level stuff we build will come from feedback from our customers, right? Because they're, like you said, they're going to use it in ways that maybe we didn't think of. Like we have one beta lender and he's preparing to go out to every realtor in his market because we have this thing called proof of funds. So he can give out, we give every realtor a landing page where they can give out the app and he's going to give that to all the realtors. And then when the realtors want a buyer to do a proof of funds letter to get them in, to let them see the house, they want to know they have minimum assets or whatever they want to know. And that buyer does that, he's connected to the lender because it's the lender's app. So when they hit apply, only that lender comes up. So it's kind of, you know, it's green fields. And some of these, you know, lenders are thinking exactly what Michael said. I want to get out there. If I target realtors, I'm going to target realtors and tell them about my app. They'll be, don't want talking about it. Like, let's get out there and do it. So, you know, I'm enjoying talking to and learning, you know, from the lenders that we're talking to and the vendors, the other vendors. We've had a lot of conversations, like Michael had said, with people in the space, other vendors that are doing similar things. And for a lot of these vendors, some of them have apps. You know, we think we can protect the data through their apps. So if you have a first-time homebuyer app, we think there's a future partnership where, you know, the data will flow on our rails through your, through whatever app you do, a credit challenged app, a first-time homebuyer app. So we're about the data.
I found that out too. They're like, everybody's so obsessed with the word app or what an app is that they hurt themselves. Like you just said, you can work in other people's apps, but as soon as they hear apps, they have to compare it to another app. There's nothing like it on the planet in mortgage where it's just so territorial for no reason. You know, they're worried about this app going out to these 10,000 borrowers that haven't even downloaded that app yet. It's like just any engagement is great engagement. Any branding is great branding. Obviously, there's some caveats to that, but I think everybody that's watched the show knows what I mean. Want to thank you both for coming. We invite you to stick around for the mic drop. We would like all of our listeners, if you guys enjoyed it and you hung around to the end, we know you're loyal. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe. It keeps us going. It keeps us motivated, and it keeps others seeing the power of the mic'd up show. And we have a new website if you want to be a guest, and we'll have that link down in the comments as well.